So now we are in chapter 4 of this session on entrepreneurship. At the end of the day, all business boils down to customers and markets. So this chapter is essentially on customers and markets. In this, the learning objectives of this session are, we basically try to identify which customers are there for our business and to which customers we are going to aim our business on. The second is, basically we are going to describe the markets that we are going to be operating in and thus competing in. And finally, we are also going to derive as to which are those customers or which are those markets in which we will be competing. Customers are probably the most important stakeholders of your business. So hence, you need to understand what is exactly that you are offering to your customers. You should also need to understand as to why is it that the customers need to buy from you. Taken together, customers, markets, competitors, this is what basically comes under the domain of marketing. Most often than not, most of the ideas that we take to business usually arise out of our being close to the product or the service that we are offering, and we also understand the type of person who would probably use these products and ideas. This could probably come from the fact that we have experienced a particular product or service and we've been unsatisfied about the type of offerings that were made available to us. And we may have probably come up with a new approach or a new way, or we would have thought differently as to how this could probably have taken to market. And hence, this could also be something that others have missed. This could become a competitive advantage to us. And it is these insights that could offer us opportunities. Why do customers buy? Customers essentially buy because they have needs and wants. When starting your business, it is absolutely advised that we try and understand the range of potential customers and we interact with them in order to get a better understanding as to the market, as well as our product and services, as well as how our offering meet the needs of the customers in the market. Market research is conducted through focus groups in order to get qualitative inputs from small groups of people. Facilitators in the market research basically ask questions, they show or demonstrate the product and use images and share overall concepts of key messages. Now, market research enables you to understand the market, and some of the things that you may consider as per Kotler is that are the benefits of the product clearly communicated and are they believable by the customers? Does the product and service address the need or solve the problem that the customers are facing? What other products and services could probably be there in the marketplace which could probably be meeting these needs? We'll also try to understand what are basically the customer's perception and how do they derive value from the product and service that we are offering. Why would they want to buy our product? And how often will they use our product? How often will they purchase our product? Where would they go looking for it? How do we give them access to the products and services that we are offering? All this together forms what is called the marketing mix. Customer segments can best be understood by this particular graph. Here, on the x-axis, we take customers. Customers can be divided into short-term customers and long-term customers. On the y-axis, we will take profitability. It could be low profitability or high profitability. Let's look at each one of them separately. Where you have low profitability and short-term customers, this is basically where there is very little fit between what the company is offering and the customer's needs. The chances of profit or the potential of profit is very low. Some of the actions that you can take is, don't make too much of investment into these relationships. You make profit in every transaction that you do. The other option is where you have long-term customers, yet they are low profitability. Okay? These are called barnacles. Now, there is a limited fit between what the company is offering and what is the customer's need. The profit potential is pretty low. Some of the actions that you can take is you measure the size and the share of the wallet. How much of a wallet share are you going to get? If the share of the wallet is low, the basic focus should be then in upselling and cross-selling, trying to sell more of the same product or trying to sell more other products to the same customer. If the size of the wallet is small, then you need to ensure that you incorporate stringent, strict cost controls. Now let's look at where the potential of profitability is high. One segment of them would be where the profitability is high, but they are short-term customers. These are essentially called butterflies. Now, there is a good fit between the company's offering and the customer's need. The potential of making profit is pretty high. Some of the actions that could be probably advocated here is aim to achieve transactional satisfaction. That is basically in each transaction, ensure that your customer is satisfied. But we are not really looking at long-term behavioral loyalty from the customer. You milk the account only as long as they are active, in the sense that for that particular transaction, or for that period of time when the customer is essentially buying from you, you focus and invest only in that and to the level of that relationship. The key challenge over here is to not invest beyond the profitability that could probably be acquired by these customers. Now, the fourth possibility are those where the profitability is high and the customer is for long term. These are called true friends. There is a good fit between the company's offerings as well as the customer's need. The potential of profit is very high. The actions recommended at this stage are communicate consistently, but not too often to irritate. Build loyalty in terms of behavior loyalty from the customers. Delight the customers, nurture them, defend them, and try to retain them for as long as possible. In order to understand the marketing mix that you need to create for your offerings, one can rely on Edmund McCarthy's work, basically where he developed the 4P concept. He did it in his book, Basic Marketing, which is basically a managerial approach. Here, the marketing mix comprises of 4Ps. They are basically product, price, promotion, and place. This is further extended to another set of 3Ps, which is basically people, process, and physical evidence. As seen in the marketing mix, the first one is essentially product. This basically speaks about the product and services that our company is offering. How does this product and service uniquely offer, which is not offered in the marketplace? How is our product better than what is available from the competitor? And why will the customer pay for the product and services instead of going to competition? The second aspect of the marketing mix is essentially price. How much do you think that the customer will be willing in order to pay for our product and services? Is there a particular way of pricing? Would 9.99 be more popular a price than, say, a full 10? What you charge for the product in the marketplace will also determine how much money you make as well as how you are perceived in the marketplace. The third aspect of the marketing mix is essentially promotion. What does your communication about your goods and services through the various channels that you use, like advertising, PR, and other marketing channels, are making? This is basically called the fun P. What is the voice? What is the image that is reflected in your communication about your company and your offering? And finally, the fourth P is essentially place. Whether it is brick and mortar or whether it is digital, the place you make your product available in front of interested customers is of critical importance. How easy is it for the customer to find your product or service? So in terms of the marketing mix, it could be best graphically represented as a product marketing mix, which includes product, pricing, promotion, and placement, combined with the people, process, and physical evidence. Altogether, this creates what is called the service marketing mix. So finally, the marketing mix essentially bringing in the 7 P's of marketing, which is product, price, place, promotion, process, physical evidence, and people. This forms the complete marketing mix. So the popular four P's can be put in a different format from the perspective of a consumer-oriented version. The four P's were basically the business-oriented model. Now, if you look at it from a consumer-oriented model, it could probably entail customer needs and wants in relation to that product and offering. The second is cost that relates to price, and communication that relates to promotion, and finally, the convenience which relates to the place. So when it comes to market segmentation, it's very important to look at what does the market look like, whether it is B2B business or whether it is B2C business. We may want to consider four essential aspects: the geography, the demographics, the behavioral characteristics, and the decision-making process. Let's look at each one of them a little closely. When it comes to geography, it is basically where is the product and service or the company located? Is it domestic or is it international? In terms of demographics, it basically includes the size of the business. At what stage of maturity is the market? And what is the volume potential of the business and various other such aspects? When it comes to behavioral characteristics, how do businesses compete? Consider the value of all purchases. How often do they get purchased? Are they one-offs or are they regular purchases and so on? In the decision-making process, who makes the purchase decision? What factors will influence in the decision-making process? Who are the people who make these decisions? And what do we know about them? Getting an idea of these four aspects will give us a good idea as to how to go about communicating with each one of these to be able to influence each one of these characteristics. Markets are essentially differentiated by virtue of the four stages of a product's life cycle. And these are measured on one axis, in the x-axis by time, and in the y-axis in terms of sales volume. There are these four stages could be introduction, the other stage is growth, the third stage is maturity, and the fourth stage is decline. So let's look at each one of these stages of the product life cycle in a little detail. Introduction stage. This is basically the phase where the sales are very small. Often it is difficult in this stage to make any form of profit because the volume of the sale is pretty low in comparison to the cost that it is incurred in order to take the product or the offering into the marketplace. The second stage is that of growth. In this phase, the market is growing rapidly and they are providing more and more opportunities for making profit. And when others come into the marketplace, this could get a little crowded. So this is the stage where competition starts rearing its head. The third stage is that of maturity. At this stage, the sales start picking up. Also, the profit is still present, but competition is there in the marketplace and it increases and there is a potential of it to become much more intense. The fourth stage is decline. In this stage, both the profit as well as the volume of sales starts declining. Rogers' technology adoption curve gives a good idea as to how successful customer groups enter the market. These can be classified into five categories: innovators, early adopters, early majority, a late majority, and laggards. This could probably be graphically represented in this manner. It shows the stages of successful customer groups entering the market. So you will find that the early ones are the innovators. About 2.5% of people will be those people who, irrespective, are willing to take the risk of not knowing what the product is essentially. There are no reviews, there are no history about the product, yet are willing to take the risk of adopting the product. Then the next stage is essentially the early adopters. 13.5% of the people would probably want to test out the product or try out the product, and these are essentially called early adopters. The third stage would be the early majority, that is about 34%. Between the early adopters and the early majority, this forms the critical mass for your product being adopted by the marketplace. Then another 34% would basically be the late majorities, who, after having seen reviews and after having heard about the product and its efficacy, are willing to test out the product. At any market, you will probably find about 16% of the people who will be laggards, who would probably may or may not adopt your particular product or offering. So now that we are in the marketplace, one other aspect that we need to look at is, how do we compete? Competition basically will come from our emphasis on the 7 P's of marketing in the marketing mix, getting the right mix and engaging with customers while matching with the different stages in the enterprise as well as the product development. In the earlier phase, we may work with the customers to get our product right, our process right, the quality right, and to get the right people element so that we can establish optimum price. So in this session, we have looked at customers as well as market. Now, what is it of value and how is our offering of value to the customer is what we are going to look at in the next session, where we talk about value proposition. Thank you.